My dear brother bishops, brother priests, brother deacons, fellow religious, sisters and brothers in Christ, and in a very special, special way, the candidates for those who are going to be ordained as deacons today, and their wives and parents and children. We celebrate this ordination to the diaconate. This is the first one I'm doing in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the first time I'm ordaining permanent deacons. We have this celebration on the feast of St. Justin the Martyr, who was beheaded because of his witness to Jesus Christ in the year 165, a long time ago. He was the first Christian philosopher and apologist. Apologists are those who, in some strong and clear way, defend the faith. He was a philosopher before he became a Christian and decided, after encountering Jesus Christ, that the Christian faith alone answers the great questions of human life and existence. And for this, he gave his life as a witness and a martyr. I think there's always something providential about the day on which men are ordained. And so I entrust you to the care of St. Justin on this, his feast day, that you might also be worthy witnesses and Christian philosophers, and most of all, convincing apologists for your faith in Jesus Christ. Because we know that the truth of Jesus Christ needs to be proclaimed clearly and without doubt and without excuse in these difficult years of the 21st century. The scripture readings which we have today help those being ordained and all of us here to understand what we are celebrating. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers, and describes the relationship in the Old Testament times among those who served the Jewish people as their ministers. There were the high priests, Aaron and his sons, priests, and those referred to as Levites. Levi was the third son of Jacob, and his descendants, when they entered the promised land, became servants of the Lord and of his temple. The land, the promised land, was divided up among the tribes of Israel. One tribe got this territory, another tribe got that territory. But the Levites, those who were descended from Levi, received no territory and no land. Instead, they were very happy to proclaim to their brother and sister Jews that their portion was the Lord, not land, not possessions, but the Lord himself. Today's scripture reading helps us also understand the relationship between the bishop of a diocese and his deacons. Because when God decided to give help to the high priest Aaron and his sons, he told them, as we hear in today's reading, to summon the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron as his assistants. And that's what's happening today. That relationship between Aaron and the Levites has been replicated in the ordination tradition of our Catholic community. You are ordained into the sacrament of holy orders as participating in the sacramental presence of Jesus Christ in his church. You are to be symbols to all of us in the church of Jesus the servant, and are uniquely given as my assistants in the proclamation of the gospel. Now, the way you do most of that is by helping my other assistants, the priests in your parish. But our ordination today, our celebration of ordination today, establishes a genuine and true and sacramental relationship between yourselves and the bishop with whom you serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also learn, as we study the role of the Levites in the Old Testament, another important dimension of who you are. This passage from the book of Numbers is rather short, just four lines or four verses. But if you go just a bit further into this reading, we discover a theological reason why God established the Levites in the Old Testament. Let me read that ongoing passage to you. God said, "Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel, from among your family and your friends. Instead of every firstborn that opens the womb among the people of Israel, the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." Now, for us to understand that passage, we have to remember the story of the Passover, when God delivered the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Pharaoh would not let his people go. Moses and Aaron worked miracle upon miracle to convince Pharaoh to set his people free, to set the Israelite people free, but he wouldn't do it. And finally, God promised the Jews that he would send an angel among the Egyptians who would kill every firstborn of the Egyptians, of man and of beasts. And if the Jewish people wanted to be saved, they were to mark the door of their houses with the blood of the Lamb, and the angel would pass over the houses of the Jewish people. And through that act, God would set them free. But the cost was that the Jewish people would dedicate all their firstborn children and beasts, as it says, to the Lord as his own special possession. The Jewish people came to understand that the tribe of Levi, the Levites, were substitutes for the people, that instead of claiming for himself the firstborn of every family, God chose the tribe of Levi as his own. So as we celebrate your ordination into the priesthood in the light of this Old Testament passage, we understand that part of your responsibility is to represent not only your families, but also your parishes and the people of God, as you offer service in the church. You are the representatives of the firstborn of all God's Christian people, offering yourselves as the representatives in the service of God. So represent them well. Offer yourselves in worship and praise. And understand that through your ordination today, the Lord, who is our God, chooses you in a unique kind of way as his firstborn sons. Our second reading today is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And this passage has been described by scripture scholars as the deacon statute in the New Testament, the plan for what deacons are supposed to do and what they're supposed to be like. And it begins by giving us a description. I looked at you as it was being read to see if you really fit this description. I'm sure that your wives, first of all, and also your children would know better than I whether it's true or not. It tells us that deacons must be dignified. Aware of your dignity as children of God. Of course, all of us are dignified because God chose us and created us. All of us rise to a new dignity in our baptism. But you're supposed to be aware of the dignity of what it means to be God's chosen son. Not because of any special gifts that you have of your own, but because God chooses you and he loves you, just as he chooses all of us here and loves us each uniquely. Being dignified rises out of awareness of your dignity as a child of God. You're not to be deceitful. One of the most difficult problems we have in day-to-day church life is the difficulty of gossip, of people talking about one another, of being one way in the presence of this person and being another way in the presence of another. The deacons of the church are expected in a very, very special way to rise above all of that. And never allow yourselves to be two-faced. This is especially true in the life of your parishes, where people will often come to you to complain about their pastor. And you can either agree with them in private and praise your pastor in public, or you can decide from the beginning, from this moment on, that you'll never participate in that kind of activity, which undermines the community of the lives of our parishes. Be men who are dignified and never deceitful, men of truth and integrity at every moment in all that you do. You're not supposed to be addicted to drink or to anything else other than the love of God and the service of your sisters and brothers. Those are good addictions, which I hope you embrace with all that you are. You're not to be greedy in the pursuit of sordid gain. It's never about you. It's always about Jesus and his church in every circumstance. And most of all, you are to hold fast to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. That passage is so important that it's part of the ordination prayer for you today. It's what this prayer, which transforms you into a sacrament of Jesus Christ, the servant, happens with the bishop's proclamation of these words. What does it mean to hold fast to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience? The mystery of faith is simply the preaching of the church. The proclamation of the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead and ascended to the Father. You are to hold fast to that. Another way of saying it would be you're supposed to cling to the Paschal mystery, to hold it close to yourself, to make it the energy that drives all your decisions and all your actions. And to do that without compromise, with a very clear and simple embrace of the gospel. And in doing so, you become a clear sacrament in the presence of the church, of the ongoing presence of the living Lord. This reading tells us that you're to be tested, which has been, the last 5 years? How many years for you? 6 years. They always remind me it's longer than I think. This is what the past 6 years have been about. We're trying to follow the scriptures. We're testing whether or not you can be for us what a deacon's supposed to be. And I'd like to take this moment to express my gratitude to those who've been part of that testing, your formation, folks. Those who taught you, Deacon Owens, who leads the office of the permanent diaconate. I'd like to thank Monsignor Pallante, who's not able to be with us today because he broke his ankle, but he's watching us on television, he told me. So, Monsignor Pallante, we thank you for your loving service to our deacons and their families in these years that you served our diocese in this position so generously. We thank your pastors in your parishes who encourage you to come forward and offer yourself to the service of the church as deacons. For all of those who have been part of this time of testing, we give thanks to the Lord. And I invite you to give thanks to the Lord for them as you prostrate yourself in anticipation of your ordination this morning. The reading tells us that you are to be married only once, which reminds us of your wives and your children and your parents. I'd like to express my gratitude, first of all, to your wives. We know that anyone who's married, who offers himself to sacramental service in the church, is also offering his family, because they have to give you up in some sense. They have to share you with another wife, which is our Holy Mother, the Church. And we know how difficult it is for a man to have two wives. And we thank all of you who are the wives of our deacons for your wonderful and generous service and your sacrifice. And we say the same to your children who've had to see their father distracted from ordinary family life by the responsibilities of formation. And wives and children, if you think it's been bad the past 6 years, it's only just begun. So I admonish you who are going to be ordained to care for your wives and your families first. That's the first sacrament of vocation that you embraced, your marriage. And the second one, your service to the church as deacons, always takes place in the context of that reality of your first sacrament. Finally, this reading tells us that those who serve well as deacons gain good standing. We hope that's going to be true. You know, that what's happening today will just be the beginning of new growth in terms of your love for Christ and your service for the church. It goes on to say that your service, if done well, gives much confidence to you in terms of your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, as I look back over my own life, I've been a deacon now for 43 years and a priest for much the same amount of time. But one of the great blessings is that the example of the faithful, the example of my brother deacons and priests, my brother bishops, has helped me as the years go on to grow in my own faith in Jesus Christ. And this has made me a better Christian and more confident of the faith that has been a gift to me. And I pray that the same will be true in your lives. Finally, we come to today's gospel, which is a beautiful passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And for us to understand this passage, we have to understand its context. James and John, two of Jesus's chosen 12, probably went to their mother, and asked her to go to Jesus and ask for a favor. We often do that, don't we, when we have good mothers. We ask them to intercede for us. And so the mother of James and John went to Jesus and asked that her sons might sit at the right and left hand of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. You know, among the people of Jesus' time, those who sat at the right hand and the left hand of the king were the most important ministers in the kingdom. In response to that, Jesus told them that it wasn't his to decide. That was something that his father would decide, but that they would drink of the chalice from which he would drink, which was a chalice of suffering. But then he went on to say the words of today's gospel passage. Please listen to them once again. But in doing so, I ask you, if you have it with you, to pull out today's Mass program and look at the picture on the cover, which is a picture from the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus is washing the feet of his apostles. The one in the picture that looks astonished is Peter, who told Jesus that he shouldn't wash his feet. And Jesus said in response, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have nothing to do with me." And Peter said in response, then not only wash my feet, but my hands and my whole body as well. You can see how excited he's become. And you'll see how quickly the others are taking off their shoes because they want to be part of the life of Jesus. My dear brothers, Jesus invites you into the mystery of his presence to us as our servant. The one who is our Lord and Creator, our God and our King, has become our brother and our servant. And you are invited to do the same. Not only to have your feet washed by the Lord, but become his instrument in washing the feet of others, which is a symbol of the lowest kind of menial service in the life of the church, and to care for others more than you care for yourself. And Jesus says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt." This is pagan thinking, which sometimes creeps into the mind of the ministers and members of our church. Instead of thinking like Jesus thinks, we think like the pagan, non-Christian world around us. But that's not supposed to be the way it is with you or with any of you, because we are all baptized into the mystery of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, "It shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for the many." Now, in saying that and in doing that, Jesus becomes a model of all ordained ministry in the church. All of us who are priests are still deacons. All of us who are bishops are still deacons and priests. But the foundational dimension of who we are to be is our diaconate, into which you will be ordained this morning. Jesus is our model, and he is yours. As he became a servant for all of us, you are committing yourself to be a servant of him and all of us in your ordination today. May God bring to completion the good things he begins in our celebration of the Sacrament of Holy Orders in your life.